Good. Oh, excellent.
That'll help a lot.
And just to make sure,
I'm gonna have both of these microphones on because I had a little problem with them in the last few days, and I just want to make sure we get this recorded. I'm turning them both on.
Well, this is quite an interesting project.
It's been fun, I think. Ask them, I guess I shouldn't.
The Drake I went to was almost back in the antiquity, so it was what Howard Hall was, our music building at that time. That's where we, every time I walk by there, I see my practice room and sat in for hours.
Okay, I will be back. Howard Hall. What time is it now?
Isn't that the writing center now?
Mm-hmm.
It's what?
The writing center now, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, part of the classes are the writing center. And then they have, I think they even have some ROTC classes in there. Yes, she needs to sign that. Have you got a pen?
We did, but it kind of magically disappeared.
Oh, I know how that happens.
Okay.
I just happen to have one in my hand. This is just a permission. From Jan that gives us a...
That we can use your recordings.
Oh, okay, fine.
We can put it on the internet.
Now, what year in school are you here, and what is your major?
We are both first years, and I'm a law, politics, and society major.
Ooh, good for you.
And I'm accounting and finance.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
All right, good luck. I'll be back in about 5 minutes.
Okay. You can just sign there.
Okay.
And if, I mean, we can print your name if you want.
Are they on? Yes.
No, I signed it Jan, which is what I go by. Should I sign Janice?
No, I think you're good.
Okay. I don't know what I signed, but I'm sure it's okay.
You're good. Oh, great.
It just said I'd give you each $1,000, right?
Put your name there. That would be nice.
Yeah, they're both on.
Okie dokie.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. I'll just say this is Jelaine and Zia, and we're here with Jan Fleming. And can you tell us a little about where you were born and raised?
Well, I was born in Traer, Iowa, but I was raised in Blair, Nebraska, just over the Missouri River. And my first 2 years of college were at Morningside, and then I transferred to Drake. And I was here forever because I had to work my way through.
Can you tell us a little bit about your childhood?
It was idyllic. It was in the 50s, and none of us locked our doors, and we took off with our bathing suits and our bicycles in the morning and came back for supper in the evening. We were in and out of each other's homes, and nobody ever worried about anything. So we were lucky, really lucky.
And where did you go to high school?
Blair High School. Mm-hmm.
Do you have any fond memories of Blair?
Oh, yes, sure. I was into music very heavily, sang and played my flute, and that was pretty much my life, except running around on my bicycle. And we all walked to school, and we all walked home for lunch and walked back to school. So we didn't have lunches at school. We walked home for our lunches. And so my poor mother had to prepare 3 meals a day instead of 2. Mm-hmm.
When you came to Drake, were you prepared? Did you feel prepared when you came to Drake?
Yes, because I had had 2 years in Sioux City. However, I was dazzled by the size of Des Moines, and I knew I was in a big city then. And it was exciting. That was exciting.
Did you live in the dorms here?
I did. I lived in Stallnaker my first year, and then we all went out to rooming houses and shared apartments, and I don't know why we did that. I think we thought we were more cosmopolitan or something.
Do you remember moving into the dorms?
Mm-hmm.
How did that day go for you?
That was exciting. It was, and I had my roommate from Sioux City, so I knew her very well, and we were ready to take Drake, and Des Moines.
Do you remember your first week of classes?
Oh, not specifically. Except that it was bigger to get around and further to walk between buildings. But it was nothing eventful for the first week except to meet my new voice teacher and get started with the voice lessons. That was the big thing.
Did you have a favorite professor here?
I had a number. I was fortunate to be here when Professor Friederlich was head of the drama department. And I got interested in drama as well as music. In fact, I think probably if I took one more class, I'd have a double major. I might have another degree in drama. So Professor Friederlich was very, very dear to a lot of us, and I was lucky. He was a great philosopher, so I was really lucky to have him. And then my flute teacher, Nathan Jones, was very, very special. And at different times, I worked as their secretaries, part of my working my way through Drake.
Can you tell us a little about the golden era of singers?
Yes. As it turned out, that particular group of us went on to have... three or four of us went on to have really significant careers singing opera and recital and oratorios. And it was... Cheryl Milnes was one of the students here at that time, and of course he became a world-famous baritone. I like to say that he was doing walk-ons while I was doing leads in the operas at Drake. It's true.
Sorry. What type... Were you involved in anything else on campus besides the choir departments and...
Not really. I was pretty obsessed. So there was choir and band. I played flute in the Drake Des Moines Symphony. And it was pretty much, we were all in that group, we were all pretty single-minded that we were here to begin our careers and that we were going to go on and have careers. And we didn't go to the football games or the basketball games or anything like that. We were practicing.
Do you still keep in touch with them?
Not really, and that's interesting. We all went different directions and settled different places. And when I left New York City, I was in touch with Cheryl Milnes a couple of times, but after that, everybody just sort of drifted away in their own directions. And I was then raising a little boy by myself, and so my life went drastically another direction. I became a suburban housewife, mother, huge transition. I did not go lightly into that transition either.
Do you remember, did Des Moines make a big impression on you when you first moved here?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And some of the big events, like going down to the KRNT Theater, which is gone now. See, we're talking the late 58, 59, 60, 61, those years. We had, like, Des Moines, Drake, Messiah. We sang every year with the orchestra down there. We played concerts at Hoyt Sherman. And the big thing was what is now... Cheslow Auditorium. It was not that then, but we did all of our opera scenes and our opera sections there, so I sang quite a few different opera roles in that auditorium, and I go there now for the Des Moines Community Orchestra concerts, and I have a lot of memories of running across that stage and singing my heart out, so... But yes, it made a big impression. It's making a bigger impression now. Des Moines has changed a lot. Mm-hmm. It's gotten a lot more attractive and cosmopolitan in the last 10 or 15 years. And I was back in Des Moines to watch that happen and actually help it happen. So I did a lot of community projects to, and I'm still doing them, to enhance the image of Des Moines and Iowa. That was a big mission for me because, and this is not to say anything negative, that our farm country is incredible, feeds the world. It's so important. But Des Moines and Iowa are a lot more than just cows, pigs, and corn. And I was in on a lot of that, the groundwork in helping that happen. I did a book called Song of Iowa, and it was all photographs of Des Moines and Iowa, all over Iowa, to show the remarkable things about Iowa that people don't usually think about or know about. So it had a big impact.
Your books, were you the author and the photographer in both of them?
Yes, and I had guest photographers in both of them, but most of the photography was mine.
You said you did operas. Did you have a favorite?
Yes. Well, I'd have to say two. I was just about to make my debut at New York City Opera in La Boheme, the role of Mimi, which was one of my favorites, when my husband said we have to go back to Des Moines, and we had a 2-year-old toddler, and I had to choose between career and family, and gave it all up and came back to Des Moines. I didn't like Des Moines very much at that time. I was devastated. It was, since I was 3 years old, I was going to sing. In fact, I started out in show business with Johnny Carson in Nebraska, and there was just no question that I was going to sing all my life. And suddenly we're in Des Moines, Iowa, and they are not hiring opera singers. They weren't at that time hiring any, and I had to take my child to Cub Scouts and join the neighborhood bowling league. Oh my. It was really, the first few years were nightmarish. They really were.
How was working with Johnny Carson?
He was really nasty. He was really a mean son of a gun. Yes. I think as he grew older and became famous and had the show, I think he mellowed and he became a nicer person. But he was just actually mean. I used to be his sidekick man, like Ed McMahon. He always, not every show he did, he had different people, but when I was there, I did. And he was just mean and nasty, and I told him off after one show and told him I didn't ever want to do a show with him again. So there.
Did you move to New York right after graduation?
No. From Drake, I went to Northwestern University and got my master's in music. And then I was invited to sing in the Spring Festival in Vienna. So I went to Vienna for a while. Then came back, and we moved from Chicago to Washington, D.C. And we were there 1 year, and my career took me then to New York City. And I was in my element. New York was where I was always meant to be, and I had to leave it. Advice? Don't ever give up your dream or the thing you know you should be doing for a man. Truly.
Would you have done anything differently here at Drake?
Would I have done anything differently? I think I would have. I would have studied even harder. I also, when I got to Drake, discovered boys. And So I did a lot of dating and a lot of romantic nonsense that I wish now I had put all that energy into studying harder and practicing more and taking it even more seriously. But I was having a grand time. I was having too much fun.
Would you ever go back to New York?
No. Just to live in New York is very, very hard. You'd have to have something to do there. I was hooked up when I went to New York to sing. So I had a career and contacts, and so then living in New York was fun. But just to go there with nothing, to go there and get a job and live there would be extremely difficult. Very, very difficult. Maybe even impossible. Rents start at $2,000 a month, and it's just out of reach unless you have a big career move to take you there.
Do you have any other words of wisdom for this year's senior class?
Words of wisdom for this senior class. Well, I don't know whether they're wise or not, but don't ever let go of what's really in your heart to do, and follow it no matter what, because there is nothing else.
Is there anything else you would like to add to your recording?
Let's see. Well, I was fortunate to come to Drake. I had very fine teachers, and Drake was, and I believe still is, very good to its students. Drake really cares about its students, and the professors and the administration will go to great lengths to make sure that students can really fulfill their dreams and the part of it that they need to while they're here.
I did have one question. Were there any things going on that you can remember while, like, in the world while you were going to school, like major events?
That's probably something I would do differently. I would follow more closely world events. What I do remember is that while I was at Northwestern, President Kennedy was killed, and I remember the singing and playing my flute as his memorial service at Northwestern. But I can't remember anything of anything that interfered in my life going on in the world, but I was very bad at that time about keeping track of what was going on in the world. And when I got to Northwestern, I became very involved, and I'm very involved now in working for Obama. I worked for him the last time, and I've had two phone calls from him recently, along with a group of some other people. 2 o'clock in the afternoon, the phone rings, a hold for the President of the United States, and I thought, sure, who's this now? And he came on and said, hi guys, and we talked about what we need to be doing to support him now. And that happened twice, so I've had two phone calls. It's pretty cool, isn't it?
Yeah, it's
nice. So I'm really, really making up for the immaturity and really shameful behavior that of my early years, that I wasn't more involved, because that's something we all really need to do. The world is changing rapidly, and we need to be active and helping it go the right directions. I can imagine that, I'm guessing that you probably don't feel as free in the world and just life as we did. We were We were pretty happy-go-lucky. But I would imagine that you're taking it all very seriously now. It's not, you don't have the freedom that we did. It's, everybody has to put their shoulder to the wheel if we're going to save this world.
Anything else?
Do you have anything else to add?
Anything else about your life at Drake?
There was one other incident that I can't think of my years at Drake without mentioning. Nancy Sossaman came here to study voice, and she sang for Billy Graham at all of his big festivals that he had all over the country. He'd bring Nancy in. She had a gorgeous mezzo-soprano voice. And her boyfriend flew in to see her, an older man, Art DeMoss, and they eventually married, and they were tremendous philanthropists. And shortly after Nancy left Drake, she had a problem with her throat and had surgery and could never sing again. But she was such a joy, and I remember the first snow. She was from Charlotte, North Carolina. The first snowfall, she came over in this skinny coat. She's like, I can't believe how cold it is. Anyway, having Nancy around was a just kind of a special little gift we all had while we were at Drake. She just died recently, so we lost her, but she became a great philanthropist, not only in music and the arts, but in other world causes of hunger and so forth. And I guess the camaraderie we had among this group of singers that was at Drake then was just one of my fondest memories was David Walker. We had a little singing thing that we did on the side. We'd go perform for church groups and each get $10 or something, and in those days that was a big deal. But I remember a blizzard when University Avenue, all of Des Moines was shut down, and we went polka-ing down University Avenue in the snow, singing "Shall We Dance," dum-dum-dum, and with the snow flying and the oh. So we had some really joyous memories that I could probably talk about for hours, but there's one.
Okay, just to get a better understanding of what the golden era of singers were, was that like all the singers at Drake, or what exactly was that?
There just happened to be a cluster of very, very talented singers who went on to have careers in opera, oratorio, recital work, and there were about five or six of us, and so it was called the Golden Era of Singers at Drake.
Makes sense.
And I was lucky enough to be one of those.
Also, to clear up, you said in your bio you were finishing your degree here while at Northwestern getting your master's. How did that exactly work out?
It was I had to work my way through, so I was always juggling three jobs, and so I got a chance to go to Northwestern to study with Harmonis Bear there and all the wonderful things that go along with singing in Chicago. But I had one semester of German left, so they let me finish it at Northwestern. So I was at Northwestern, finished the German requirement, got my degree from Drake, and then went on and got my master's at Northwestern.
Okay.
Do you remember anything about your graduation ceremony? Or did you have one here? Or was it at Northwestern?
I am so bad. I have never, ever been to one. Isn't that terrible?
Even at high school?
I was at high school, yes. But none of
them. And then at college?
We were kind of snobs about those things. We didn't need to go to the ceremony. Isn't that terrible? I regret it now. Be sure and go to yours. Isn't that terrible? Okay. Anything else?
Not that I could think of.
Yeah.
How many people have you interviewed, and how long will you do this, and how, I guess, what is the scope of this project? How far back are you going? And
well, we each got into pairs, and then we all have one person that we, you know, get information for and interview, and then we kind of put all of our information together and kind of reflect on it and then give a presentation at the end. So it's just kind of our own way to get practice of doing oral histories. Yeah.
I see.
And okay. We learn a little bit more about Drake and the people who went here. And
mm-hmm. Okay.
So we can kind of get an idea of what it was like.
It was fun and a frolic then. It truly was.
Do you remember how much it your tuition was?
Oh, no, but it was always more than I had. No, I don't remember, but of course it was a lot less than what you have to find. And I always had little scholarships for $300 and $500, and then the rest I'd have to go out and earn. So I had a lot of part-time jobs.
Has campus changed at all? I mean, I know it has, but like drastically mm-hmm. since you were here?
I would have to say, I don't know drastically, but dramatically maybe. Mm-hmm. The new music building, of course, is entirely new. We had Howard Hall, and it wasn't called Cheslow Auditorium then. I can't remember what it was called, but all of the music took place in those two buildings. We didn't have any of the facilities that are now there for the music school. We had little practice rooms in Howard Hall, and we did all of our rehearsing in Cheslow, and that was it. So that's quite different.
A lot of additions.
What?
A lot of additions.
Yes.
When you were in Stalnecker, do you remember the little lake that was underneath the quads? Was it that before?
A lake?
I don't know
anything about it. There was a lake under us?
With the quads, there was bridges over top of it?
No. Oh, maybe? I don't remember that at all. I don't know.
Like that big gash, was that a lake? I wonder if that was after.
Could have been after.
I don't remember that.
Was there just three? By the time, or was there still four quads? Was there Harriet when you were going?
I think so.
That's where we live, is Harriet.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's the newest and the last one to be added.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know if that was there when I was. I don't remember that.
Do you remember any rules or regulations you had in the dorm?
Oh, interesting. Yes, we had to be in by, what was it, 10:30, I think? Maybe 11 o'clock on weekend nights. I can't remember exactly, but we had curfews. And, of course, boys and girls were separated, of course. We didn't live in the same buildings. I think maybe now that I reflect upon it, that was probably all of our motivation for getting out and finding little apartments and renting rooms to get off campus so we could have a little more freedom. Oh, yeah. I remember charging to get in on time. You don't have hours now, do you? And you have boys in your dorm as well as girls.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a big change.
Yeah. I know our fourth floor on our dormitory, it's like it could be a girl in one room and then a boy room right across the hall.
Amazing.
Yeah.
How does that feel?
It's weird.
It is weird.
Is it kind of weird?
I like our floor because our floor is an entire girl floor.
Okay. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Did your dorm used to have, like, the key swipe? Or did you just enter?
We just entered. Yeah, we didn't have a key swipe. That was... I don't think that was even invented when I was... If it was, I didn't know about it. Okay. And there was someone standing there to make sure that we all got in before she locked the door.
Really? Like a dorm mom?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, we had a dorm mom. Yes, indeed. I almost thought of her name. It was right on the tip of my tongue. I can't remember now.
Was it a student that was going here, or was it an actual, like, older?
An older woman, yeah. A widow who was, she was probably 60. And very prim and
strict to the rules.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you could get grounded if you were had so many late, came in late so many times. And Morningside was even more restrictive. I got grounded several times at Morningside. That means you had to stay in all weekend. So it's different. And down in the cafeteria, they serve beer. Is that true? The student union? No?
Not anymore.
They did for a while, huh?
I don't know.
I think they did for a while.
Like when you were going there?
Oh,
like
no.
After?
No, it would have been long after. But they don't do it now.
Mm-mm.
Okay. We had coffee shops. There were two of them. I can't tell you what's there now. The Varsity Theater was there. So we would go to movies at the Varsity Theater. It was an old tradition to... saw lots of our great movies at the Varsity. And then there was a coffee shop next to it. And then around the corner, I can't tell you what's there now, was Vic's Restaurant. And we spent far too much time having coffee in those restaurants. Our group, you know, the class would be out, we all go over for coffee. Well, we should have been studying and practicing, and really, truly, could have gotten a degree in coffee. But we weren't, we didn't drink there. It was coffee. I think probably it was my third year here before. I was 21 years old before I had my first taste of alcohol. I remember that. Could have skipped that too. A lot of wasted time.
Yeah.
You're giggling. It really is. It's a lot of wasted time. And you don't really remember what happened the next day. Can't really. Well, I think he said this, and I think we did that. You know, it's a big waste of time. Mm-hmm. That would be a word of advice I would leave students at the university. Don't waste your time partying and drinking, and it really is. It's a dead end. It really is. I wish I had, when I did start partying, probably my last couple of years at Drake, I think about all that wasted time. Yeah. That's not a good note to leave on, is it? Girls, I wish you the very best. You're at a good school, and you're in a nice community, and there's a lot going on in this community. If you ever pick up the date book, I am just amazed at what's going on in Des Moines. A lot of entertainment chances. Where did you come from?
I'm actually from Des Moines.
Are you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, you know then, and mm-hmm. you've seen it all happen.
I'm from Baxter, Iowa.
Baxter?
Yeah, it's about 45 minutes away. So.
Okay.
I'm from around here, too, so...
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I wish you both very well, and do have some fun, though.
Yeah.
They, You will look back, and these will be the best years of your lives in college and university. I have another word of advice. If you must, pick your husband in college, because your choices you have later, the cream of the crop are in college. So, okay.
Yep.
Anything else?
No, I think that's all. Thank you so much.
I can go now? All right. Oh, this has been fun. I would love to hear your presentation and hear what you thought from other people.
Let's get a picture real quick.
Oh.
We wouldn't do it if we didn't have to.
All right. Can we do it just from here up? Because I don't have a bra.
Perfect.
Okay. All righty. Well, my doggie's waiting for me in the car.
Aw. What kind of dog do you have?
It's just a little mutt rescued from a ditch. Little abandoned puppy.
Aw.
We don't even know what he is.
What's
but he's
your
one. Oh, may I take it with me?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I didn't really.